Graham's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And just a reminder that you can find us online. Our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can follow us on Facebook. You can find us there at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And I believe our Facebook Live is up and running as well, so you can join us there, follow along. And I had somebody tell me, because we've had trouble with, you know, trying to get the audio through from time to time on Facebook Live for our callers and things. I had somebody tell me just the other day that they were watching online while listening on the Facebook Live and then listening to the feed, one of the feeds from one of the radio stations that carry us. They were actually listening to the feed from our home station here, AM 1220, The Word, located here just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, just south of Cleveland, Ohio. And you can, of course, follow us there online. And I was going to say, I had the website address there for the radio station. I can't see it here. There it is right in front of me. I don't know why I can't see it. Too much turkey here the other day. WHKWradio.com. And you can follow the feed there. Or if you're down in Florida, listening to us on AM 570 WTBN and our Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN, I should say, down in Tampa, Florida, you can log on to letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com. And you can listen to the program there through their live feed. And that's also good wherever you're at. If you're having trouble, sometimes the audio signal, depending on the weather, different things that are going on, sometimes the audio signal gets a little messed up. So if you go online to either WHKWradio.com, that's WHKWradio.com, or letstalkfaith.com, that's letstalkfaith.com. Either of them, you can listen to their programs online, and you can listen to us online right there. And so somebody was telling me they were watching on Facebook Live, and they were listening through one of the online feeds, and so they got kind of the best of both worlds. We always had this ongoing difficulty getting the callers, the telephone callers, to be heard on the Facebook Live. But we're glad to have you wherever you're at, and I hope you'll be able to give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And let's go ahead and open our programs here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray, bless the program, use the program for your glory. Help us, Lord, to not only glorify Christ, but to point people to Jesus Christ tonight and encourage people to consider the claims of the gospel, to consider Christ as Savior, and to also to help believers in their walk with you, to grow and to understand the Bible better and to be able to apply it in their lives. Use us for your glory, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, good to be with you tonight. And like I said, I want to remind you to check us out online, our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al. It's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find out some more information there and follow up with us there on some different things. And as we're looking at stuff tonight, hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We did have a program live here in Northeast Ohio on Friday afternoon at 1:30, and that was here on our local station, AM 1220, The Word. And I actually filled in on another program before ours, and I just wanted to mention that because you can find those programs at our webpage. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, and you scroll down on the right-hand side of the page, I do have this past Friday's programs there, and so you can listen in on that for Friday the 24th, and you can also hear some of our other programs there, see some different things that I have on there. But I just wanted to mention that this past Friday's program, not only our program from 1:30 on Friday afternoon, but the half hour that I filled in before for Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church. They have a program for the cause of Christ. If you're here in the local area, if you can catch AM 1220, The Word, let me encourage you to tune in on Fridays at 1 o'clock to listen to For the Cause of Christ. Pastor Lutz always has a good Bible lesson there, and then I follow him at 1:30 with our program live with Pastor Al. And then actually there's another friend of mine who follows at 2 o'clock, another half-hour program, and it's Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. And I always like listening to Pastor Andy's messages when he comes on. You know, when you go to Bible school and they teach you hermeneutics and all the stuff on how to craft sermons, you know, there's the old standard 3 points in a poem was what they used to say, it seemed like. You know, you have to have 3 points in a poem to your message. And Pastor Rusnacko, I think, goes his own way. He'll say, I'm going to give you 8 things that God says about, and he'll give you the topic. And believe me, he'll go through those 8 things, and they're always interesting, and they're always reasonable and logical, and he brings them all out, and it's not like he spends an hour on each one of those 8 points, but he brings them all out, and they tie all together. So let me encourage you to listen to them if you're here in the area. And of course, you can always listen to them at WHKWradio.com as well. Well, and I also know down in Tampa, there's some good programming down there. Of course, being up here in Northeastern Ohio, I'm not quite as familiar with all the programming down there, but certainly there are some good programs down there, and so I encourage you to check out their website as well, letstalkfaith.com, and you can find out what their programs are as well. And certainly the Bill Bunkley Show in the afternoon is a good program. I've had opportunity to pass a couple times to be on there. In fact, when the Republican National Convention was going on here in Cleveland, Ohio last year, I had an opportunity to call into the program and talk with Bill there from the Republican National Convention last year. So that's kind of was a unique story how that turned out. Maybe we'll get into that another time. But again, want to share some things with you tonight. And again, thank you for people who've been praying for us, and we're just thankful to be able to be on the air, and we're thankful for your prayers, and we're thank you for the encouragement that we get from time to time, and we just really appreciate and just thankful for the opportunity to be on the air. We had kind of a quiet Thanksgiving, and so I hope you had a good Thanksgiving wherever you might be, and hopefully you got enough turkey. If not, you can always fix another one. They're probably trying to get rid of the remainder of them now. I remember passing by a place locally where they had a bunch of turkeys they were getting ready to sell, and they were out milling about a week ago, and we went by the same place this afternoon after church. We drove by there, and not a turkey to be seen. So either the ones that wound up as guest of honor at somebody's Thanksgiving dinner, or they escaped, one of the two, but not a turkey to be seen. So let's see, what did I want to mention here as well this afternoon? There's a couple things I want to continue to ask you to pray for our country. And it just seems like you turn on the radio or turn on a TV, and every time something comes on, there's the latest accusations of somebody. And I know there's some things that are happening out there that are concerning, and I'm not going to, unless somebody calls in on the subject, not going to get into that right now. But do pray for our country, and share a thought that somebody had expressed that with all of these people being accused of sexual immorality and things like that, Republican, Democrat alike, on both sides of the aisle, we're seeing this in the federal level, we're seeing this on the state level, and it's just become like a feeding frenzy, and it seemed like it started with some of the media and entertainment industry figures, and it's spread into the political realms and all of this, and that's why I say pray for our country. A fear that was expressed by some is that this will cause good people to distance themselves from being involved with local politics. This will cause Christians to say, oh, politics is too dirty. This is why we didn't get involved in them in the past. This is why we stay clear of it. And I've said to a couple of people in regards to that, I said, you know, really, this is the time that we as Christians should take a stand. We should take a stand. If God is moving and He is allowing us a voice, allowing us an opportunity to make a difference, then we need to take a stand. And this is a time that if God is pulling back the cover and some of these people are being revealed for what they are and being removed from office, this is going to open up positions that I believe that we as Christians should strive to get into those positions. These are positions, in some cases, where people are going to be appointed to fill out positions as people resign. And if we as Christians stay in the battle and we put ourselves in the right places so that we can be people who are appointed. I'm not talking about myself, but I'm talking about Christians in general. If we can be ones that are appointed to some of these positions, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to make a difference. And so now is not the time to shrink back. Now is not the time to pull away from the political arena. Now is not the time to back down. Now is the time to get involved. The Bible says, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "Thou therefore, my son," starting in verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." And he says in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And this is the time, you know, we sing that song in our churches, "Onward, Christian Soldiers." And then there's, what's the other one? "Am I a Soldier of the Cross?" And things like that. This is the time that we ought to soldier on. We ought to be able to put up with some of the things that are happening around us so that we can take a stand, so that we can be a soldier that is striving to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and going into the battle and putting ourselves in the thick of the battle where we can make a difference. Some of these people that are being weeded out, we can have the opportunity to go in there, take their places in some cases, and make a difference. And it's like Paul also said to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, and I like this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says this starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not like that. That's what he's talking to us as believers. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And when we see things like this happening, we shouldn't get scared. We shouldn't get timid. We shouldn't shrink away. We should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he says this as he continues on in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now that was written there in the first century, but it sure applies today, doesn't it? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, he says, but against principalities. We're wrestling against dignitaries, principalities. We think of territories or countries, something along that level, I guess you could say, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. And this is what Paul tells the Ephesians. He tells them not to shrink back or to hide. He says, wherefore, in verse 13, and that wherefore, it's like I tell our church, when you see the word wherefore or the word therefore, you look to see what it's there for. It's there because of what he said. He said that we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He said we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers or principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes just standing, holding the line, is a victory in and of itself. We may not be able to advance all the time, but at least if we're standing, we're not falling back. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians out there who have gotten excited about getting involved in politics, and they've become disillusioned, they've become disappointed, they've become disheartened and disenfranchised because they've seen people who claim to be conservatives, who claim to be Christians, who claim this, claim that, and they turn out to be vile and reprehensible. And Paul's admonition to the Ephesians, I think, is applicable. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. And there's, again, that admonition to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is what we're to equip ourselves with, praying always in verse 18 with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So here's the thing. We're to stand, we're to be putting on the armor of God, and if you notice, the armor of God covers everywhere but our back, and that's because we're not supposed to be retreating, and we're supposed to realize that God has our back, and so we're armored up, we're standing, we're holding up the shield of faith, we wield the sword of the Spirit, and that's the word of God here, which the Bible describes as being sharper than a two-edged sword. So we have the word of God, and then we pray. You know, the weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, well, here it is. Here's our weapon, prayer. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit. Another weapon, there's the sword of the Spirit. Most of the armor was defensive. The sword, and that's probably thinking of the Roman two-edged sword. The sword was both defensive and offensive. It could be used to block blows, but at the same time, it could be used to go on the offense. And that's what we can do if you know the Bible, if you know the Word of God, if you've studied to show yourself approved unto God, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, or I'm sorry, 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you're study to show yourself approved unto God, and you have an understanding of the word of God, you can use it to block the attacks of the enemy, and you can also use it to go on the offense, to press the battle against the enemy. And not only that, another weapon, prayer. And that's both offensive and defensive as well. We can pray for one for another, pray for ourselves, pray for God to defend us and to protect us and to watch over us. But we can also use prayer in an offensive manner, praying that God would defeat our enemies, praying that God would bring the truth out, praying that God would protect others that are in the battle. And then watching. That echoes what Peter wrote when he said that we should be on guard. He said, our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we need to be on guard. We need to be vigilant, watching, because we understand who our enemy is. So he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, perseverance. We understand perseverance. Perseverance is stick-to-itiveness. Perseverance is keep-goingness, if you want to put it that way. We keep going. We persevere. We hang on, waiting for answers. And supplication for all saints, meaning we pray one for another. We pray for ourselves. We pray one for another. And Paul put himself in here when he said in here in Ephesians 6, verse 19, and this is in the same sentence dealing with the prayer, he says, and for me, this means pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, I would echo Paul's words to you as well. When you see these things that's happening in the world around you, don't get discouraged. Don't get disheartened. Don't shirk from the battle. Be a good soldier. Take on to yourself the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand in the power and the might of the Lord. Stand up against the devil, clad with the armor that God has provided for us, and then go on the offense praying for all saints, and pray for me. I appreciate your prayers for me. In order to be able to do the program like this, in order to be able to pastor our church, in order to do things that I do, I need God's people praying for me. When I was a missionary in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands as missionaries. And if you were listening last week, and by the way, that program from last week with the missionary Jim Savale is online as well at livewithpastoral.com. But when we were down in the Samoan Islands, I mentioned last week that there came a point where it was like God was saying, you know, I'll let you go to New Zealand, which was our original destination, and things were getting difficult. And he said, I'll let you go there. You can have a prosperous ministry there, but if you stay here, it'll be better in the long run, though it'll be harder. And we believe God wanted us to stay. And knowing that God was promising us it would be harder, but better in the long run, we elected to stay. And I told the Lord, we'll stay. And it did get harder in the long run. But if you were listening to the program last week and you heard how Brother Savale and his wife, both who were going at one point to be full-time in the Roman Catholic ministry, him as a Jesuit priest, her as a nun, and they left the ministry or left that plan. They got married and then they encountered Christ and they trusted Christ as their Savior. They both got saved, him first, her a few months later, and then they became he became the pastor of the church that we started in American Samoa, and then he prayed that God would send somebody there to help start other churches in the Samoan Islands, and then God touched him and his wife's heart, and they went back to the village that she was from in the independent country of Samoa, and they have a church going there, and in the process of all that, they were able to rescue the Samoan Bible and digitize it and make it available electronically online. I have it on my cell phone in my pocket right now. I have it on my computer in front of me, and Samoan-speaking people all around the world can log on to the computer and download the Samoan Bible that's based on the Textus Receptus in their language, and they can download it for free. And they're putting together a concordance for it right now as well. And Samoan Bibles are being printed and provided to people throughout the Samoan Islands. And it's amazing thing that God has done there. But I wouldn't have been able to stay, and Brother Savali would not have been able to accomplish those things if it weren't for people praying for us. And that's where we echo what Paul said. And for me, pray for me. Pray for people like Brother Savali. Pray for your pastor. Pray for other people who are preaching the Word of God, that utterance may be given to us, if I may paraphrase the scripture here a little bit, that utterance may be given to us, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which we are ambassadors in bonds, that therein we may speak boldly as we ought to speak. That's our job. And that's what Paul was saying, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we need your prayers. You know, as a missionary, we were what was called faith missionaries. We were not paid a salary. Brother Savali, that was with me on the air last week, he's not paid a salary. What we did instead, and if you're not familiar with what faith missions are, some groups do it. The Independent Baptists are one of the biggest groups for this. There's other, but we're by no means not the only group that does this. But in the Independent Baptist missions programs, what we do is we go to churches and we present what God is doing in our lives, and we allow God to touch the hearts of the people in those churches as to whether or not they want to support us. And if they agree to support, they believe God's will to support us, they provide the money that our missionaries use to go to the foreign field and keep them on the field. And it's exciting to see God work. But one lesson we learn is that prayer is more important than money. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here and enjoy the conversation here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight, and you can give us a call. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. And just a reminder again, of course, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And you can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road. That's right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And I know a lot of people who are listening are not in the Cleveland area, and that's too far to go even for a $5 pizza, though it's a good pizza. I just had some pizza at East Coast Pizza with some friends of mine just this last Friday. Went there after the radio program Friday and enjoyed some good company and fellowship with Gus, the owner, and enjoyed one of his great pizzas. Had one of the deluxe pizzas. He makes a fantastic pizza there. But what I was going to say is, if you're outside of the area and perhaps you're interested in starting your own pizza business, well, one thing you need is a good pizza dough recipe, and another thing you need is a good pizza sauce recipe. Well, if you'll call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100, you can talk to Gus. That's the owner. Ask for Gus, and he can help you get started. It's not a franchise. It would be your own business. It's Gus's own recipe. He's not a franchise either, and you can discuss with him how he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. Just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we'd love to have you check those things out. We've got a couple of different things on each one of those. Well, I'm going to continue on here tonight, and just a reminder, too, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We kind of go through feast and famine sometimes. Sometimes we'll get four, five, or more calls in one night, and some nights we get nothing. But that's the vagrancies of being live late at night on the radio. So if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, let me encourage you to give us a call tonight. The phone lines are open. This is your chance to get on, 888-677-9673. And also had somebody contact me on Facebook. That's another way that you can get through here on occasion. Had a question from one of our listeners in North Carolina, Ronnie, who called recently. We were talking about when we we receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, we said that since the cross, since Pentecost and all of that, we receive the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. Paul said in Romans that if you have not, I believe it's Romans chapter 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. And then of course, in 1 Corinthians, a couple places where it says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so He's in us at the moment of salvation. You don't have to get saved and then pray and beg God to give you His Spirit. Jesus said that when He left, another comforter would come, and that comforter is the Holy Spirit of God, and He indwells you at the moment of salvation, which is really a wonderful thing that we have here in this age of grace. Prior to the cross, prior in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people and then leave them. Remember, David begged that God would not take His Spirit from him. We had Samson, the strong man of the Old Testament. When the Spirit of God came upon him, he was possessed of supernatural strength. His enemies did not know where it came from. And then when he said that his hair had never been cut because he had been dedicated as a Nazarite from birth. And as such, he did not have his hair cut until the vows were over. And when Delilah kind of tricked him and kind of wheedled around until she got him to confess that, and his hair was cut, he thought he would get up and defeat his enemies like he did before. In some of the saddest words in the Bible, he wist not that God's Spirit had departed from him. I like that phrase, he wist not. I mean, he didn't know. He wasn't aware that God's Spirit had departed from him. And of course, those are just some areas in the Old Testament where it shows how the Holy Ghost would come upon people and leave them. But in the New Testament, since the cross, since the resurrection and Jesus ascending up into heaven and the Holy Spirit coming into the world on the day of Pentecost, He indwells believers at the moment of salvation. And so that's the time in which we live now. And Ronnie had asked a question. He said, my question now is, he gave evidence at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, is that evidence still to be done today? And here's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost, starting in verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is the disciples. These are the followers. This is more than just the 12. There's quite a number of people here. And the Bible says in this in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's something to notice first off here. It doesn't say that they received the Holy Ghost. Remember, Jesus had previously breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Here it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me pause still a little bit more on this statement. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're watching on Facebook Live tonight, you can see that I'm sitting in this studio right now. There's a room around me here, and there's off to the right over here, there's a window going into another room, and there's another room beyond that, another room over there, and there's a room back here where Andrew back there keeps me straight on the air, and then there's another room behind him. There's a lot more to this place than just where I'm sitting right here, right now. I am in this building. Okay, do you see the point? But I do not have free rein to go other parts of this building. See, I might get shot if I go into Andrew's domain right now. And he's nodding in there that, yes, he's not going to let me invade his domain. But what I'm getting at is I don't have free course to go anywhere in this building. So I don't fill this building. I'm restricted in this building, in this studio, as to where I can be. I can be right here in this area. And so I'm restricted. I do not fill this, though I'm in here. All of me is here, but I can't go into all of this place. Here's another way to express it. We're celebrating the holidays. We just had Thanksgiving. People are traveling, visiting relatives out of town. And then we got Christmas coming up, and for our Jewish friends, Hanukkah and all that, and then New Year's. And people travel this time of year, and they stay with relatives. They stay with friends. And when you have guests in your house, you receive them into your house. And so they come into your house and they stay in your house, and perhaps you have a guest room. And you say, well, here's a guest room, and here's the room. Make yourself at home. Put your clothes in the closet here. Here's a dresser maybe you can put some stuff in. Here's a bathroom right here that you can use, and feel free. And if you get hungry, you know, help yourself to whatever's in the refrigerator. So we allow them in our home, but we give certain restrictions. We say you can go here and maybe over here, but you can't go over there. And we restrict them. We don't want them coming into our room in the middle of the night. We don't want them going up in our attic. We don't want them going through all our cupboards. We don't want them going through everything in our house. We've given them freedom to be in our house, but not to fill our house. You see the difference there? And that's what we do when we get saved. We receive the Holy Spirit. He comes into us. We've received Him. He is in us. But what God wants us to do is to allow Him to fill us. He wants us to give the Holy Spirit access to every nook and corner and cranny of our mind. He wants us to allow Him to open up all the cupboards, look into all the drawers, go into all the boxes that we've got stored away somewhere in the dark recesses of our mind. He wants to be able to fill us. And that's what happened here on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It says of the disciples here in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were meeting together. They were waiting on the Lord. They were praying. They were asking God to use them. They were waiting for God to use them. And with that receptive heart, the Holy Spirit filled these people. He filled filled them completely with their presence. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance there in verse number 4. Now, these were men that weren't necessarily learned men. There were some people there who were educated, but there were a lot of people who, like Peter and James and John and Andrew, who were uneducated fishermen. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, tongues simply means languages. English, the English language, that's my mother tongue. In the sense that that's the language I grew up learning. That's my tongue. And we get that from the sense that you use your tongue to help shape words and to speak. And so tongues simply means languages. And it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here's another key here. They did not have to work things up by repeating rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers, rubber baby buggy bumpers over and over until they got their tongues tied and somebody said, voila, you're speaking in tongues. Now, that sounds facetious, but I actually read a book that was written by a pastor when I was in American Samoa. He had a workbook on how to speak in tongues, and one of the things that he said there was if you were having trouble speaking in tongues is you repeated something along the lines of rubber baby buggy bumpers over and over until you got your tongue tied, and he said, see, you're priming the pump, and now you're speaking in tongues. Well, this is not what this says. This says that they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it gives an example of the languages that they spoke. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man, notice what he says here, every man heard them speak in his own language. Remember I said tongues here refers to languages. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and people heard them speak in his own, every man heard him speak in his own language. And verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? There it is again, tongue synonymous with language. How hear we in our own tongue wherein we were born? And here's a list of the various languages or tongues that were heard on this day. He said, how hear we every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya, Mount Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, isn't this incredible? This is what happened here. And the Bible says they thought it was incredible. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now, this got people's attention. Now, let me back up here a little bit, because our caller, Ronnie, had asked a question about this in Pentecost, and is this still to be done today? Well, we have to understand what's going on in Pentecost. And to help explain what I'm trying to say here, let me ask you a question. When is your birthday? Okay? Now, if you think about when your birthday is, that's what? A celebration of what? The day that you were born, right? Now, let me ask you another question along with that. Did you begin on your birthday? In other words, the day before your birthday, were you alive? Well, absolutely. How about the week before? Absolutely. How about the month before? Absolutely. 9 months, more or less, before your birthday, at the moment of conception, you began. That's when you came into being, at the moment of conception. Now, biologically, it doesn't matter what people say about abortion and when does life begin. It doesn't matter what the politicians say or what the judges say. It's a biological fact. I mean, I've got a biology degree. I know a thing or two about biology. My wife is an RN. She knows a thing or two about biology. And we understand biologically, life begins at conception. We've talked about that in this program. At the moment of conception, a unique new life is conceived, and it begins at that moment. And it's amazing. There's a light show that plays out across the surface of the egg at the moment of conception. And there's these zinc receptors, and they've actually studied this and filmed this in various animals' eggs at the moment of conception. When these zinc receptors release these zinc ions, there's a photon that's given off, and they actually luminesce. It's a light show that plays out across the surface of the egg. And I look at that, and to me, that's like God announcing, hey, a new life has begun. So you want to know when life begins? It's real simple biologically, at the moment of conception. And it's a new life. If it's not a new life, there wouldn't be any need for abortion, would there? Because abortion is a form of destroying a life. It's just a preborn life. So you began at the moment of conception. Now we celebrate our birthday, but before our birthday, we had already begun. And the world didn't take much note of us until that day that you were there and the doctor or the midwife or the police officer, if you didn't make it to the hospital on time or something, delivered you and brought you into this world. And you come into this world as a brand new baby, and you begin crying. and you start to squall a little bit. And there's amazing things that take place with that first breath. At that first breath, you're I don't have time to get into all the details here, but it's the miracle of birth is just absolutely incredible, because at that first breath, your circulatory system, which was circulating in one direction because of your tie to the umbilical cord and the interchange between your blood and your mother's bloodstream through the placenta. They don't intermingle, but nutrients and waste products, oxygen and carbon dioxide, are passed across a membrane in the placenta to where the mother's blood delivers oxygen and nutrients to you and then takes away the waste products and the carbon dioxide that your blood sends back to your mother through the placenta. Very complex and miraculous sort of organ that God designed. But for the blood flow to supply to make everything work, when you're born, the blood actually has to reverse direction between the heart and lungs so that the flap that allows the blood from the umbilical cord to enter into your system actually gets pushed backwards and sealed, and within moments it begins to knit together and seals up, and your blood flow reverses. That's amazing. And it's because of that first cry. Now, here's the thing. When Jesus was in the world, he called out his church. He called out his disciples. And I believe that's the embryonic church, if you want to look at it that way. The world did not take as much notice of it, but on the day of Pentecost, that's like the birth. Some people say, well, that's the day the church was born. Well, the church began when Jesus was calling out his disciples and training them and all of that, but it wasn't ready to go into the world. And it went out into the world on the day of Pentecost. That's why Jesus told them to tarry in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, just like that baby makes its entrance into the world and cries out and the world takes notice of it, these believers went out into Jerusalem. People from all over the world were there celebrating the Jewish holy days, and they began to cry out as they spoke in these other tongues, and the world took notice of them, and they said, "What is this new thing?" They didn't know what this meant. "What meaneth this?" they said. And see, this was an introduction of the church to the world, just like when a baby is born and takes his first cry. So, do you have to do that again? Well, babies do cry from time to time, but that first cry, with all the amazing things that takes place, not only the reversal of the blood flow, but the inflating of the lungs, which were compressed before that, and all these other things that take place so that baby can go out into the world and live and grow and one day become an adult and reproduce itself and produce other babies, this body of believers went out into the world and they cried out and they became a force that was able to go out into the world and then eventually reproduce itself. And so the book of Acts here, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, I think this was a singular event. Now, we don't have time to get into all what the Bible talks about tongues, but in the early days of the church, we do see it happening. Remember when Paul spoke to Cornelius, Gentiles, and many of the Jewish believers did not believe the gospel was for the Gentiles. And God poured out his Spirit on them, and when they trusted Christ as their Savior, they received the Holy Ghost, and God filled them with his Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues, and that was a sign to the unbelieving Jews, unbelieving in that they didn't believe the gospel was for the Gentiles, and that showed them that the gospel message indeed was for the Gentiles. And we see gradually the use of speaking in tongues decreasing. I believe that the Bible indicates in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that tongues would cease. And he says this in verse number 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail," meaning come to an end. "Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And I don't have time, unfortunately, with the program fast ending here to develop this too much further, but the idea here is the knowledge and prophecy and tongues here was for the authenticating and the giving of the Word of God to show what this means. Because remember, these people said on the day of Pentecost, "What meaneth this?" They didn't know, is this a work of God or what is it? And it was the speaking in tongues that helped them to realize this was indeed a work of God. And once the Bible was completed, there was no need for these things again. And in fact, if you study and you continue on, and I really don't have time to get into it, we only got about a minute left in the program, but in Acts chapter 14, the last half of that, starting about verse number 22, it says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to them to believe, but to them that believe not." And then it gives a regulation starting in verse 27, "If any man speak an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." And he goes on to say that there's no interpreter there to keep silence. And so tongues were being severely restricted at this time. Only two or at most three people, not two or three dozen, not two or 300, and they were to take time by course. And there had to be somebody to interpret. They were strictly regulated. And you see tongues begin to decrease in the scriptures. We don't need them now. We have the completed word of God. Well, we'll talk about this perhaps more in the future. We're out of time right now. Hope you'll join us again next week. And thanks for listening tonight. Good night and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.